This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Wyoming Cowboys get the win. It feels like a lifetime ago. There's been a lot going on now that we got football like ready to rock and roll. 2 days away from the NFL starting up. So a lot has transpired, but the Cowboys are 1-0. That's big for a team that only won three games last year. They beat Akron 10-0. Joining us now, Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He is our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Cody, defensively, first off, I mean, lights out. Doesn't get much better than, you know, shutting a team out. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, no question, especially on the road and in this day and age when the when football's so geared toward offenses, Brady. It was just a really, really solid effort from that group, which includes nine new starters. And something that a lot of people wouldn't know from the outside, Wyoming rolled 22 players in that game on the defensive side of the ball. That is just something they have not been able to do around here in a long, long time, especially when you had, you know, Wyatt Eckler and Isaac White back there in the secondary at the safety spot over the last 3 years. They never left the field. Shea Sui and Noah Connor Shea, linebacker, they never left the field last year either. So depth. They wanted to create depth. They wanted to make sure they can do things like that and be able to use the bench as a motivator, if you will. And, you know, it worked in this one, and it was really an impressive deal. They only let Akron cross the 50-yard line four times all night long. And when their starting field position averaged the 30-yard line, I mean, it was dominant in every way.
Well, talk to me, too. Speaking of dominant, Braden Johnson was, every time you look up, on there he was. He was everywhere on the field.
Yeah, man. 6'4", 248, senior out of Oklahoma Baptist. Eight tackles in his first FBS game, his Wyoming debut. And obviously the huge interception a couple of yards into the end zone. Ben Finley looked to thread one in, and Braden Johnson followed his eyes and picked it off. And that was the only real legit scoring threat that Akron had all night long on their long trip to the red zone. And he thwarted that real quick. He's a man of few words, but after the game, he just, you know, it seems like kind of a stretch, Brady, but he said, you know, we heard Akron's head coach saying that, you know, Wyoming just got a bunch of small school guys and lesser division players that came in the transfer portal, and he took that personal.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like it. On the defensive side of the ball, on offense, I don't know, Cody, for a while, it was kind of a lot of what we saw last year. You had some big players, some big numbers. Sam Scott was ridiculous. What did he have, 30 carries in that game? I mean, he was toting the rock. But your guy, you talked highly of this guy for a while now, but Chris Durr Jr. with the ultimately the sweet touchdown. 8 receptions, almost 200 yards, big touchdown for him. Do you look at this offense and say, hey, we're going to see more of that kind of stuff? Or where are we at this stage? Is it going to be kind of a slug where, hey, defensively, we're gonna ask you against the Northern Iowas of the world, or you gotta hold these teams under 17 points or so until we kind of figure it out?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. A lot of people, of course, were jumping off a cliff during this one, and, you know, I guess rightfully so after the way last year went. But, you know, it was week one. They put up 426 yards of total offense.
Yeah, right.
Scott, like you mentioned, you know, 29 carries, obviously a career high, 132 yards. Chris Durr Jr. was a freak. Jay Sauvell mentioned yesterday, you know, John Michael Gillenbarg didn't really get into the act this week. He only had a couple of catches, three catches for 19 yards. But he, you know, they kind of geared toward him. And the opening was at Chris Durr Jr., and it showed. I mean, he ended up with 146 yards and obviously that 35-yard touchdown, which was just lightning fast, and the guy is a freak. So, no, I'm not worried at all. You know, when it was 3rd-and-2 or 4th-and-2 and less, this team was 3-and-7, 3-for-7, and it's got to get better. And they turned the ball over on downs twice, and, you know, the short yardage stuff. Believe me, that's going to be an emphasis this week. So I'm not worried at all. The other thing I think that we forget about sometimes, get lost in things, yeah, Jack Walsh has started a ton of games on the offensive line, so has Caden Barnett, but, you know, respectively, Walsh has never started at center before in a game, and Barnett's never started at guard, and Evan Sabota's still new at the, you know, the tight end position, and Bryson Brantley's a new wide receiver, and there's still some new guys on that side of the ball that are working into some new spots. So, yeah, I'm definitely not sounding the alarms anytime soon here. I thought they did everything between the 20s. They just didn't finish.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. You have to imagine, you know, as high as everybody's been on John Michael Gillenborg, for Akron, that was going to be, hey, we have to try to shut him down. Three receptions for 19 yards. But how much is that going to help him out when he's got Chris Sturr Jr. going alongside? It's like, all right, teams want to really put the emphasis and focus on me. Well, now you got to be a little careful because we just proved we might have a dog at wide receiver in Durr Jr.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. You know, pick your poison. Who are you going to cover? Which guy are you going to cover? And Joe Moorhead, the head coach at Akron, during his press conference, said we made an emphasis to follow number 84. We thought that Gillenborg was our best offensive player, and he's probably right. But, you know, you do that, Chris Durr Jr. is going to slip, and he did. And, you know, this is a game, too, where Jalen Sargent, you know, the Cowboys' leading receiver from a year ago, he was benched early on. I believe he only played 18 snaps in this game, and Javon Bonite once more. So they're you know, they have a lot of depth this year, and I know we keep talking about that every time we come on here, Brady, but that's something this program hasn't had in a long, long time, and they really rectified that in the offseason. And so far, it's already paid huge dividends, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So they have a lot of weapons. You know, Sam Scott was incredible the other night. Really big effort for him, workhorse effort, but they don't want him carrying the ball 29 times either. They need to find somebody behind him as well. So I thought it was kind of a feeling out process. The weather actually was pretty terrible. You know, there was no humidity. It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. You know, there was a couple times there where maybe Jay Sauvel could have opted for a field goal attempt to make this a couple score game, but you know, he said he just, you know, he's actually the kicking coach as well. So he said he just didn't trust, you know, a guy who's never kicked in a game before to kick from the left hash there from 48 yards out late in the first half. And that's why he decided to go away from that. So I think they were filling it out. Plus, I think he was confident in his team that they were going to score and they were going to win this game. So, you know, he kind of took a few more chances there.
All right. Now when you look forward at what's next for Wyoming, I know you're digging in on all this, but Northern Iowa, you know, this is a big one for the Cowboys because next they got Utah at home and then they go to Boulder to take on the Buffs, and we'll see kind of what the Buffs are. They lose to Georgia Tech. We'll find out a little bit more about them too. They have Delaware. This is a big one. Starting off 2-0 before you go up against those two maybe better teams at this stage, we'll see, but this would be nice to have that second win before you get into that.
Yeah, Brady, for sure. But, you know, more importantly is Wyoming went 1-5 in their own building last year, and they lost way too many close games, including to their lone FCS opponent, Idaho. We're having fun with Jason Eck and watching him do his thing in New Mexico right now because of the way they played in Laramie last year and beat Wyoming in that game. Wyoming has traditionally of late played pretty poorly against these FCS opponents, playing down to them, if you will. That's something that really needs to change, and they really need to be emphatic about it this week. You know, they take care of business in short yardage last week. They're probably winning that game by 3-4 touchdowns in Akron, and that's what it needs to look like against Northern Iowa. And no offense to them, they had a nice game against Butler. They put up 38 points. Matthew Shekelman, their quarterback, threw 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers. And Northern Iowa's no slouch, man. They've been a really good FCS program for a long time, but you need to put your foot on their throat early, and you need to start winning games at home. I mean, the crowds have been incredible. This is going to be another sellout, and you got to start giving the home crowd something to be happy about. A couple years ago, of course, they went undefeated at home, and they really need to figure it out there and start there. And then, like you mentioned, you know, you got a couple of Bears after that, you know, I'd argue Utah looked better than almost anybody in the country in week one. So that's a really tough one coming down the pike here.
What did you make of kind of the rest of the slate of games in the Mountain West? You know, you see Boise State get absolutely handled by South Florida, 34-7. CSU ends up, you know, they do cover the spread, 21.5. They lose to Washington, though. In that second half, Washington really kind of went off. What do you make of this Mountain West? And as Wyoming kind of progresses, maybe it does feel a little bit wide open, at least as we talk heading into week two.
You know what it shows me, Brady, is now more than ever, like we've talked about numerous times, you just don't know. You have no idea what these rosters look like. Putting together a preseason top 25 is insane at this point. It's just, you just don't know. There's too many moving parts. There's too many new pieces. Who had San Jose State losing at home to Central Michigan?
Right.
I sure as hell didn't. I picked San Jose State to finish second in this conference. You know, who picked UNLV to even struggle with Idaho State? You know, who picked New Mexico to even be in the same building with Michigan? So, you know, I thought, you know, it's easy to be knee-jerk right now and say, oh, the Mountain West looks pretty terrible. CSU played really well. They really ran the ball. They definitely have a running back. And also, on the flip side, Washington's run defense is really bad.
So yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, and Boise State, you know, are they going to be that team this week with Eastern Washington coming in? I doubt it. I kind of feel bad for Eastern Washington already, if we're being honest. So, in Wyoming, their offense is way better than it showed. They were good for 24 to 28 points in that game at least, and their defense played way better than anybody ever expected with nine new starters that nobody knew about. So I think I picked the Cowboys seventh because I've never seen this defense before. I've never seen what they can do. And Ben Finley, a guy who is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the MAC, 38 dropbacks, got pressured, hit, or sacked on 28 of those. So that makes a hell of a difference. So to me, long story short, it just, nobody has a clue week to week. We're going to have to really see them settle in, and that might take all of the non-conference slate here to see what teams are actually going to look like.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. You know, I always say that first week is learning week, but maybe it is the non-conference schedule. It's like, that's by week four, we have a better idea of who these guys are before they get set to take on their conference opponents. I think you're spot on. It's harder now than it ever was.
Yeah. You don't, I mean, even picking your own team. And that's why when I see people go, well, I don't know whether to trust the local media or the media who covers the Mountain West. Well, don't ask me about Air Force. Don't ask me about San Diego State. I mean, it's hard enough keeping track of your own teams at this point. You know, the Cowboys have 47 new guys on this roster. So anybody who says they know, bottom line, they just don't.
That's the thing. Like even before all this craziness, you see guys going up against each other in practice, and you still, yeah, you know, because they're not jumping into the portal and leaving as much, so you know who they are based on what they did this season before. But how many times do we have guys that were really good one year, really bad the next, or vice versa? So it is such a crapshoot. But so far so good for the Cowboys. Every win is important for them after only a 3-win season last year. So, you know, take it when you can get them at this stage.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you talked about Braden Johnson, a guy at Oklahoma Baptist. I guarantee nobody in your audience could even point out where Oklahoma Baptist is on the map.
Mm-mm.
And he's a guy who now Wyoming's coaches are going, how the hell were you a Division II linebacker for the last 3 years?
Right.
How did this happen? How does somebody like this slide through the cracks? And you have guys like that, and you have guys like Desmond Hearns, who came over from Southern Illinois, and a couple guys on this defensive front from Riverside City College. I mean, I can see why Joe Moorhead said, well, they brought in a lot of lower small school guys, because they did. But they also made it a point to make sure those guys had a chip on their shoulder and felt overlooked. And that's Braden Johnson in a nutshell.
Yeah, what a stud. Cowboys are 1-0. Took care of Akron 10-0. Cody, always appreciate it, my man. What are you working on in the next couple of days that we could check out at 7220sports.com?
Well, just wrote it's on the website right now. Caden Anderson is about to cut a big fat check, and you know, his wallet's going to be a little lighter after he pays for the entire offensive line to eat dinner this week after not allowing a sack. So that was pretty cool. And then, of course, Braden Johnson, the man of the hour, talking about him, and just, you know, Jay Sawbell and Aaron Bowl were both linebackers in college at small schools too, and just they took a lot of pride in watching a fellow small school guy really do his thing in that debut. So those are a couple things up right now, and then, you know, hot and heavy on Northern Iowa.
Well, let's get into it. Cody, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. Hopefully we're talking about the Cowboys starting the season 2-0 before facing Utah next weekend.
Absolutely.
All right, my man.
Appreciate you, Brady, as always, man.
Thanks, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He's right. I mean, learning week, did we learn a whole lot? I can't say honestly that we learned a whole lot about teams. There was one team that I learned more about than the other, and I will talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Also, stay tuned. We got Mike Brohard from CSURams.com going to join us. His takeaways from Colorado State's loss to the Washington Huskies over the weekend. All that and more. Plus, we got buy or sell. We got top stories of the day. And I got trivia day. We got Diamond Valley Collectibles with our first trivia question of the day. Be ready. I don't want you Googling it. Don't cheat. It's CSU related. There's your hint. And you're going to be registered if you win for a $25 gift certificate. We'll be right back.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.